You know, I remember a pastor during an evangelistic series said that, you know who learns the most at evangelistic series and all these meetings and camp meetings? The people who are presenting, because they're actually teaching and they're having to prepare for this. And so it would be a shame or a waste to learn all these things and not be able to teach it. Because when you teach it, you retain it more and you learn it more. That's why in the book of Matthew, we're commissioned to teach all nations. Is that right? Or just listen? No, we need to teach. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, praise God. I'm just thankful to be here. And my family is here. We're just thankful to be here. Amen? Is it a happy Sabbath today? Amen. Amen. And so we're going to start with a word of prayer, if that's okay. And I'm going to kneel, and I invite you to kneel with me if you can. If not, just bow your head from where you're at as we ask for the Lord's presence once again. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us all this week to have revival, even in health. And we've seen from the presentations throughout the week, even from this morning, that it is so important to have this type of reformation, Lord, this health reform. It is great to have revival. Without reformation, Lord, there's no change. And our goal is to change into your image. So I ask, Lord, that as I speak, Lord, I ask that please may I decrease and you increase. I pray that your word is brought to life in the hearts of the listeners. And I pray that it brings about not only revival, but reformation. Forgive us, Lord, of any sins, and please continue to help us prepare for your soon coming. Let us hear your words on this Sabbath as we spend quality time with you. As I ask this in Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 All right, now I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand. Not yet. Don't stand just yet. But I'm going to ask first, if this applies to you, please stand, okay? Only if it applies to you, and remain standing, okay? If any of you know anyone, or if you yourself has diabetes, I want you to stand up. If you know anyone with diabetes, or you yourself has diabetes, please stand up. Okay, stay standing. Stay standing. Don't look around. Just keep. Okay, what about high blood pressure? Do you know anyone with high blood pressure, or you yourself has high blood pressure? Stand, please. Okay. Stay standing, okay? Now, the last one I want to mention is cancer. If you know anyone with cancer, or if you yourself has cancer, I want you to stand up, please. Okay, now, I just named, how many did I name? Three, and I want you to look around. How much percent is that of the church today? Maybe 95%? And I guess welcome those visitors from the Blue Zone, Loma Linda. Those who are sitting, welcome to Sacramento. Amen. you can sit down. You can sit down. Thank you so much. Why is it that 365 days of the year, people are diseased and are sick, but yet how often do we hear on our pulpits our wonderful and beautiful health message? Amen. Not in this church. Amen. We've been doing a whole week. And I see on your bulletins, you guys are doing a lot of health. Amen. But more churches should be preaching on health, right? And educating our members. Amen? But I believe the title for this message is God's Answer to Every Disease. How many diseases? Every disease, right? I believe that all of you know how to treat it. Do you believe that? I believe all of you do. If not, at least most of you, if not all of you. But my question to you tonight, this morning is, how many of you want to know what I think the answer to all diseases is? Raise your hand. Oh, I could tell you weren't here this week. Yeah. Do you want to know what Brother Ernie says? Or do you want to know what God says? Amen. Amen. We want to hear, thus saith the Ernie, or thus saith the Lord? Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's right. We want to hear it from the greatest medical book ever written that no medical school uses. Is that right? I said it several times, everywhere we go and preach this message, we say this is the greatest medical book ever written that no medical school uses. No one has contested me yet. So please feel free to go up to me later. If you've used this as a textbook in medical school, please let me know, okay? I want to make sure I want to stand corrected, amen? Amen. All right. So we don't want to know what I think, right? We want to know what who says? God says. Okay, so do you believe that there is no healing outside of God? Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that. Oh, I didn't really hear an amen. 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 That's right. Amen. Now, then you believe that God is our divine physician. Is that right? Is God our divine physician? Okay, when you go to the doctor and they diagnose you, what does the doctor give you next? Not pills. That's a pharmacist, right? What does he give? A prescription. That's right. So if God, which he is the divine physician, then surely God must have the divine prescription. Is that right? Is he our divine physician? Then he should have a divine prescription. Amen? Amen? Amen. He should. And so when we look at this, when we open up our medical books, did everyone bring their medical books today? Okay, I'm sorry. Medical apps. Let's turn to the divine prescription given from the divine physician himself. Amen? Let's turn our medical books to the book of Exodus. What book? Exodus in chapter 15. What chapter? 15. And we're going to go to verse 26. Say amen when you get to Exodus chapter 15 in verse 26. Remember, this is the divine prescription from the divine physician himself. Amen? It says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put some of these diseases. Is that what it says? How many? None of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon who? What did the Egyptians die of? Does anyone know? Oh, look at this. Let's look at this. Oh. We're going to see what the Egyptians died of. And here it is. Look at this. The Egyptians died of, look at this article, even ancient mummies had clogged what? Arteries, studies find. What about this one? I can't even pronounce that. Hatshepsut? Died of what? Cancer, and was a what? A diabetes patient, right? What about this one? Heart disease was rife among affluent ancient Egyptians. Did you see that? So what were they dying of? The same things we die of today. Is that right? And so again, the Lord says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, when we look at this promise, when we look at the promise in Exodus 15, 26, when we look at the promise in Exodus 15, 26, he says, if, did you catch that? That means it's conditional, right? Now, when we read this, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice, if we listen, if we do, right, if we keep, then, does it remind you of something as parents? If you get good grades, then you will, right? If you do this, you will get, right? As parents, right? How many of you are parents? Amen. Or how many of you were told that by your parents? Amen? There's always something attached to it when there's an if. There's a condition. Amen? So we can say from the divine prescription that God is giving us a condition, right? That if we hear him out and listen to him, in other words, if we obey or have obedience, then the blessing of obedience is health. Did you catch that? Is that right? But what happens if we don't obey our parents? You get the chancla. The chinelas for your Filipinos, right? Or a belt, whatever it is, right? We get cursed, is that right? We get cursed. Boy, have mercy. I've had a lot of those when growing up. But what happens when we don't obey, when we don't hearken, when we don't keep? Well, let's look. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, what book? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, it's on the screen as well, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these what? Curses. Did you catch that? All these what? Curses shall come upon thee, right? All these curses, and what? Overtake thee. Wow. Now, some of these curses, if you look at Deuteronomy 28, you'll see all the curses of the Israelites, because they were so well-behaved. They were obedient, weren't they? Oh, no, they weren't. They were not obedient. They had so many curses. Some of them, listen to this. Curse shall thou be in the city, and curse shall thou be in the field. The Lord, curse shall be thy basket and thy store. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning. And you get the picture? They had a lot of curses. Is that right? But here's the main point. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, same chapter 28. But let's turn to verse 60 after hearing all these curses. Moreover, he will bring upon thee, how many now? All the diseases of Egypt and that thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. What does the word cleave mean? Stick. They will stick. They will stick. They will stay with you. So not only will you get now all, if you don't harden, you notice the same wording in the divine prescription, but it's in a negative way, right? If you don't hearken, if you don't keep, if you don't do, right? Then now you're going to get all. And not only are you going to get all, they're going to cleave to you. So we can say that divine prescription says that the blessing of obedience is health, but disobedience brings curse or disease. Does that make sense? Now, I have to give a disclaimer. Not all the time. Can you give an example when someone received a curse or disease and was not disobedient? Job. That's right. And there's another example with Jesus. I believe it was the blind man. Was it the blind man? Is it his sins that caused it? Or is it his parents? No, it was for the glory of God is what Jesus said, right? So not in all cases. But in most cases, it's because of disobedience there's a curse or disease. In other words, the principle in Galatians 6:7 is that we reap what we sow. And up until a few years ago, I didn't know what that meant because I never really was a farmer. Those are farming terms, right? We plant about 6,000 onions every year on our property in Arizona. Yes, in Arizona, we can plant onions. I don't just plant cactus, okay? And so when you sow, that means you plant, right? And when you reap, you harvest. So if you sow obedience, then you harvest or reap health. But if you sow or plant disobedience, then you reap or harvest disease or curse. You know, you can't plant a mango tree, is that right? And have a watermelon come out. That's not real, by the way. Please don't think that there's a watermelon tree, okay? Watermelons don't grow on trees. Because if that thing fell on me, that'd be worse than, no, I don't know. That's a waste of watermelon, right? Amen. Amen. And so, listen to this. Here it is in the book of John. In what book? In the book of John, we see an example here. We see an example. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made what? Whole. And took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Is it okay to do medical missionary work on the Sabbath? It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Amen. Amen. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Was this man lame or crippled? He was. He was lame or crippled. But Jesus says to him, sin no more, lest something worse happen to you, right? There could be a lot more things that are worse than being crippled, couldn't there? But let's see what sin means first, because sin, we all know, comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth or breaks also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law or the breaking of the law. Is that right? So we see a connection here between what? Between breaking the moral law and health. Did you catch that? So Jesus says, sin no more. So the result of breaking the law or disobedience is disease. So what I'm trying to say here is it's really important that as we in faith ask God to heal us physically, we really need to what? Self-examine ourselves and ask God to forgive us of anything we've been doing wrong. Have I been, what the Bible says, backbiting? Have I been gossiping? Lord, do I have an idol that I'm not aware about? You know those late nights when I'm really tired, but instead I like to death scroll through all these shorts and YouTube videos and Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok, and I get hooked on that. I'm just going to look at one, but oh, it turns out to be an hour later. You know what I'm talking about? Is there something, Lord, that is consuming me? Is there something I'm doing wrong, right? And then we need to ask, Lord, to help us overcome. Forgive me, Lord. Point out, search me, oh God, right? Any law or commandment we've been breaking. And then also, if we want forgiveness, should we also give forgiveness? If we want mercy, shouldn't we give mercy? And so when we think about this, we look at the book of Psalms. What book? Psalms. Look at Psalms. Look at the connection here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you believe there's a connection between health and forgiveness? You know, I was once in Loma Linda. There's some people from Loma Linda because they were standing up. They're in the blue zone. Amen. I was in Loma Linda one time, and I remember going to one of our favorite places to eat a good plant-based food, and it was it was really good. And my friends came. They didn't speak English. It was like Indonesian. It was Indonesian food. And I remember going in there, and I remember the woman who owned the store had her face was drooping. On one side. I don't remember if it was a right or left, but I think it's her right side. And she'd walk her whole right side. And I thought maybe she just had a stroke. Usually that's a symptom of a stroke, right? You see that they can't move on one side, they have paralysis. But my friend spoke to her in their language, and the next thing you know, she was telling him that 2 years ago she had went to a dentist and she had a root canal, and it was infected. And the next thing you know, she had pain all over her right side, and it started to have, like, paralysis on one side. And eventually, it spread all the way to her whole right side. She went back to the dentist. They tried to do things for her, and nothing would work. So she ended up going to Loma Linda to several doctors, and nothing would work. They couldn't find anything. And the next thing you know, she starts telling my friend that the next thing you know, she started asking for help and getting anointed by pastors and asking for prayer because she thought maybe this was spiritual. And so even till now, so 2 years later, here we are at her place. And my friend says, praise God, we have some medical missionaries with us. I said, oh, Lord. Lord, what do I know? What do we know? Me and my friend, what do we know, right? Remember, medical missionaries don't heal. Only the balm of Gilead heals, the divine physician. Notice I said he's a divine physician. I didn't say Ernie's a divine physician, right? I didn't tell you that I'm going to give you the answer to all the diseases. I said God has the answer. Amen? Amen? We don't heal. None of us heal here at Med Missionary. God does. Amen? And so he said, oh, well, we have some medical missionaries here. They can help you. And I was, do you mind if I pray with you instead? That's the only thing I could really do. Who's our present help when we're in trouble? So I turned to the source. I prayed, and next thing you know, after we prayed, she was happy. She said, here, please, take some plates of food. I said, oh, no, please, temperance, amen. I didn't say that in my mind. I wanted to. I already ordered a lot. I don't need to order more. I don't need to have more. And she said, okay. So right away, I was impressed to give her one of our oils, herbal oils. So I think it was calendula. And thought maybe she could put it on her gum that was infected. Maybe it's still infected. I'm not sure. I gave it to her. I said, no, please take this as a gift. Just pray over it. Apply it maybe 2 or 3 times a day. I left. After that, we prayed, and we ate. Oh, I went to the table to begin eating, and then the next thing you know, I was impressed to do something. And I said, oh, Lord, please don't. I don't want to do this. I don't want to tell her that. No. I recalled something that happened to me, and I said that I wouldn't want to do it. But the Lord said, do it, and what do? We need to do it. If you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, you're impressed, you need to do it. And so I went up to her. I said to my friend, can you please translate for me? And so I asked this woman, I asked her three questions. How many questions? 3 questions. The first question was, do you know that there's no healing outside of God? And she said, yes, I love God. And I know that God is the only one who can heal. I said, praise God. Praise the Lord. Then my next question is this. Are you right with God? And she said, what do you mean? And she said, like the first 4 commandments. Is there anything that you've done to God that you would need to ask forgiveness for? And she said, no, I'm not perfect, you know, but I've confessed my sins, and I'm working on things, and I'm very spiritual. Then she gives me her whole testimony how she got to the U.S. She was in tears. She said, I love God. I said, praise God. Praise God. Then my last question is this. My last question is, are you right with man? And she said, what do you mean? She said, like the last 6 commandments. I said, it's like the last 6 commandments. Is there anything you've done to someone where you'd need to ask them for forgiveness? She said, no, I can't really think of anything. And I said, is there anything that you, that someone has done to you where you would need to forgive them? Right away, she was in tears. And I said, what's wrong? What happened? So my friend was translating, and she said, she started explaining to him that her husband did something terrible to her. And till this day, she's still angry about it. And I said this, and this is where the part where I said, oh, Lord, please, please help me in my mind. And I said, okay, how long ago did this happen? And she said, 2 years ago. Did you catch that? How long ago did she start having pain? And so I told her this. I said, this is what I'd like you to do, if you can. I'd like you to ask the Lord to have his forgiveness and to please give him his forgiveness in order for you to be able to forgive him. And then I want you to go to your husband and tell him that you forgive him. If you truly have that desire to forgive him and let it go and give it to God. And if that happens, when you do that, don't be surprised if all the pain goes away. And I said, what did I just say? Oh, Lord, help me. You know? And so we went. We had to go to Washington to another camp, to a camp meeting, to a conference. And it was a long drive. And you know, when you go to Washington through Northern California, you lose a lot of cell service. By the time I got to the place, our destination, I looked at the phone and I noticed that my phone had a lot of missed calls right when we got to the Wi-Fi. And there's a lot of missed calls from my friends that were translating for us. And I noticed, I was like, please call back Kim, Ernie, please, please call back. Something happened. We need to talk to you about this. The lady that you just saw, our friend. I was like, oh no, it must have been that calendula oil. She's going to sue us. We just came from California. I knew it. Oh Lord, please. I'm like pleading with the Lord, please. This is a couple days later, right? And so we finally called them and they told us, Ernie, Kim, you wouldn't believe this. We talked to this woman. She was looking for someone to walk through her store that knew my parents or knew us and would get to us so we could get back to you. And we're here to tell you today that she wants you to come back. And you're more than welcome anytime to come back because she did what you said, whatever you told her to do, and she did it. And right away, she was healed. Is God still in the business of healing? Did I do anything? Obey. Amen. I love that word, obey. When you love someone, you obey them. Amen. You trust them. Amen. And I thank God I said that, and I didn't want to say that. But I should have known from all my experiences, I should never disobey or go against what God is telling us to do, especially when it's plain. Amen. Amen. I have so many stories. I could be here all day. You'll be like Eutychus. You'll drop dead. But there's medical missionaries here, right? And God, our divine physician, amen? I don't want to do that. All right, so let's look at the best definition of disease you'll ever find. It's in the Ministry of Healing, 127, page 127, paragraph 1. It says, disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. Now, I am sure, I am almost 100% that this church knows what the laws of health are, amen? What do you know the acronym to be? Amen. Amen. Look at that. I love New Start, but I also love, I've met someone from Meat Ministry, Dr. Jackson. Some of you might know him, but I really love this one here. I love God's plan. You ever seen that? Godly trust for, there's a lot of different acronyms that people, I love all the acronyms, but for some reason, I love God's plan. I love that acronym. I don't know why, but I want you to look at this first quote here from the book of Psalms, chapter 119. It says that, thy hands have fashioned me and made me. Give me understanding that I may keep thy commandments. Now, I love that. Why? Because a lot of times we look at these and we're like, oh, these are just rules. More rules. These are strict rules that we can't do this, we can do this, we can't do this. But if we are given understanding, why wouldn't we want to keep them? You know, when you have a boss or your parent says, you better do it because I'm your dad or else. You might do it for a time, but you're not going to be happy about it, right? Or if your employer says this to you, you'll probably walk out and quit. Or maybe do a half job and do it carelessly, right? Because you don't care. Because you're spoken to that way. But if your employer would say, hey, you know, times are tough. The economy's tough right now. And I had to lay off some people, but I kept you on board and I know you're going to wear a couple more hats, and I can't increase your pay, but if you could ride it out through these next few weeks or months, I'd appreciate your help. I really love how you work, and you've been so important in this role. Do you think you're more prone to doing it? You're more likely to do it? And that's why God says he wants to give us understanding so we could keep these commandments. I mean, listen to these. Godly trust. That's all over. This is all established in the book of Genesis, right? All these health laws, right? In the very beginning, he's already setting these principles up. And look at this. Are these strict rules? I'm not going to go through all of them. I know you know these. We've been through these this whole week too. But open air. What happens if you don't have air? What happens if you don't have air? You die. That's a good law. Oh, you're so strict. Why, Lord? You want me to have air? You want me to breathe in that fresh air when I go on a hike? Is that hard? Okay, look at this one. What about rest? Oh, it's a hard day at work, and you want me to go to sleep? I wanted to stay up 5 straight days. Who does that? I know, I do really, I want to be sensitive, because there's people that struggle with sleep, and they want sleep. It's hard. It's not like they don't want it, but typically we want to rest after a long day, right? What happens when we don't have rest? Have you seen someone who hasn't slept 3 straight days? Anxiety? What about people who live in the Pacific Northwest? I'm sorry if anyone's from the Pacific Northwest. I'm just saying, but when it's very cloudy and gloomy for such a long period of time, it gets kind of depressing, doesn't it? But when you see that sunshine and you come to Sacramento to Med Missionary Conference, right? And Sacramento Central, you're like, wow, life is good, right? All the sun, amen? We had some clouds on Wednesday, right? I was already getting depressed, but the sun came out the next day. Praise God. Amen? We saw more smiles. Is that right? I'm not going to go over all of them, but these are great rules. These are great laws. Drink lots of water. Be temperate, right? Stay away from the things that we know are bad, but also don't overdo it on the good. Can we overdo it on the good with missionary work, with ministry work? Yeah. You know the story of James White, right? We could overdo it even in good things. That's right. But look at the last one, nutrition. I just want to touch on this because we've been talking about nutrition a lot this week. I shouldn't even talk about this, right? I shouldn't even have to talk about nutrition. Why? We got this down, right? We got nutrition down. Why? Why do we have this down? I don't even need to go over it. I'm going to skip it because you know why? The 5 blue zones where the world's healthiest people live. We don't need to be told what nutrition is. You can tell us about the other 7, but not this one. We know this one, right? Because this community, where's this at? Loma Linda, right? Loma Linda. This community is the highest concentration of Seventh-day Adventists in the United States, and some residents live how long? 10 more healthy years than the average American by following a biblical diet of grains, fruits, nuts, and in and out. Amen. Oh, that's not what it said? That's not what it said? I thought that was what it said. It says what? Vegetables, right? I mean, honestly, I know that this study was done long ago, but this is a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand or don't blur it out. How many of you do you think would still see this kind of diet in the churches if we visit them today? I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm not sure. What if we repeat that study in modern day? Would we see that? Better, not even Loma Linda. What about, okay. Let's go to this. Listen to this. We're going to see a clip here. Does anyone know who this is? This is Nas Daily. I hope no one knows who this is. He's a popular influencer on all the social media platforms. He has over 68 million followers. How many million? 68 million followers. And there's all this in just English. He has it in 12 other languages. Did anyone see this? This was in July. This was released in July. Look what happens here. Look what he says. In his one-minute videos, he's known for his one-minute videos. Look what he says, okay? Uh-oh. That's not what he said. Oh, that's not what he said either. I got to go back. All right, let's see what he says. I'm going to go back. Let's see if you can catch this, what he says. I'm trying. There you go. Okay. Let's see what he says here.
The healthiest religion in the world is in America. Its followers live 10 years more than everybody else. And their prophet is a woman. This is their story. 200 years ago, Ellen White became a prophet and told her followers 2 things.
Jesus will come back. Prepare for him. And your body is a temple. Treat it with care.
This means you should go to church, but you should also stop drinking alcohol, stop smoking, stop eating meat, go vegetarian, sleep 8 hours, have friends, and rest for 24 hours every Saturday. All of this is part of the religion. 200 years later, it worked. The religion is called the Seventh-day Adventists, and its 20 million followers live longer than anyone in America. We don't need to join their religion, but we can copy them. Eat better, sleep better, and rest better. Let's make health part of our religion. That's 1 minute. See you tomorrow.
Are the rocks crying out? You think the rocks are crying out? 68 million people will probably see that. Look at this. This is at Whole Foods. Look at this. National Geographic Superfoods. I would expect to see some different things, but look at the table of contents. Vegetables, fruits, nuts and seeds, beans and legumes, whole grains. I don't see fish there. I don't see, poultry or... Do you see anything else there? Wine? No? Not... Usually you see that in secular magazines, right? But this is our message right here, isn't it? Look at this one. There's another publication right here. Did it come up? Oh. There you go. Mother Earth News, natural healing. Do you see that? What kind of healing? Seems like we're at a med missionary conference. Look at that, right? Is this a med missionary publication? Yeah. Medicine in your kitchen. Boost your immune system. Exercise to reduce pain. Increase brain health. Nature's best remedies. The world of health and healing all around you. Wow. Did you see that? Now, I want you to think about this. The rocks are crying out. The world is proclaiming the message. Surely if God could use a donkey, he could pass us by and use someone else. Is that right? And this is not just now. It's been like this. And during the most crucial time when the world needed the health message the most, what were we doing? Were we preaching out our health message? I'll tell you what the world was doing. Look at this. Look at these. These are scientific studies. These are what? Scientific studies. COVID-19, new study highlights potential role of what? Diet. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like nutrition, doesn't it? Does that sound like nutrition? Because we're going to go through a new start, right? Nutrition. There you go. Next slide. Look at this. Exercise may strongly protect against poor COVID-19 outcomes. Well, that sounds a lot like exercise, doesn't it? Wow, look at this one. What about this? Hydrothermotherapy in prevention and treatment of mild to moderate cases of COVID-19. Well, that sounds a lot like, that's N-E-W. These are scientific studies. Look at it. Dr. Anthony Fauci tells Matthew McConaughey sunlight kills COVID-19. That sounds a lot like what? That sounds like a lot like sunshine. What about the next one? Influence of cigarettes and alcohol on the severity and death of COVID-19. Well, that sounds a lot like what? That sounds a lot like temperance, right? And we keep going. Look at this study. Respiratory health for better COVID-19 outcomes. Well, that sounds a lot like air. What about this one? Why it's important to get a good night's sleep during the coronavirus outbreak. Well, that sounds a lot like rest. That sounds like a familiar message to us, doesn't it? Only thing left is what? What do you think? Stress and depression can potentially dampen the efficacy of the coronavirus disease, 2019. What happens when you stress and are depressed? What do we recommend as Christians, as Adventists? Now, that sounds a lot like what? Trust in God. Wow. Ooh, that's New Start. That should have been us. We should have been teaching this during that time, going into homes and helping those in need. Health reform was crucial in preparing Daniel in Babylon and ultimately helped his friends not to bow down to the image. We too will need to prepare with health reform so that we too may not have to bow down to an image. Did you catch that? But you know that there's always a counterfeit message. Don't you know that? You know that, right? For every genuine, there's a counterfeit, right? There's always a counterfeit that will lead others away from God and lead them to evil spirits instead. Because we know there's going to be a rise in what? Spiritualism. That's not happening around us now, right? There's nothing occult about anything around us, right? There's no spiritualism going on. Is that right? if we don't. Listen.
He's the New York Times bestselling author of 4 Life Changing.
Let's listen to that again. Listen to this. Remember, a rise in what? Spiritualism. All right.
He's the New York Times bestselling author of 4 life-changing books. Here to tell us more, Mr. Anthony William. How are you, sir?
Great to be here.
For more than 20 years, he's helped thousands recover and heal from illnesses they never knew they even had. Stars like Gwyneth Paltrow, Robert De Niro, and Naomi Campbell are big fans.
You've been described as a medical medium.
Since the age of 4, I woke up one morning, heard a voice perfectly clear, and that voice tells me what's going inside the body. So what's happening? You know, are you sick? Is there a mysterious illness? And it comes nonstop like that.
Wait,
and
what?
So that's how it works.
Telling his grandmother she had lung cancer, doctors later confirming it. Anthony gets what he calls advanced medical information from this spirit.
From this spirit? You catch that?
I am the only medical medium.
You're the only medical medium.
Yes.
Right.
His new book takes aim at one of our most important organs, the liver. Good news, you don't have to cut off.
Oh, look, you can still drink.
A book coming out called Liver Rescue. If you can protect your liver, so if you still have your vice, you can protect your liver at the same time. So it's all about what you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now he's sharing his top 5 life-changing foods.
Celery juice. It's a miracle turnaround for all kinds of conditions.
I've never even seen celery juice. 16 ounces of straight celery juice.
Do medical missionaries use juicing?
Wild blueberries.
Why wild?
Wild.
Truth mixed with what?
More potent than the regular blueberry. Cucumbers. Melons.
All the melons?
All the melons. And look, tangerines right down the front.
Tangerines.
Don't be afraid of tangerine.
Now for a demonstration.
So this would be classified as like an eczema or a psoriasis or
yes,
both.
Yes, I've heard
and
both.
Doing a reading on Tanika, who's had problems with her hands.
This whole thing is here because you have a copper problem. And Spirit says you've had it also in other little places at different times.
My armpit.
You can go to all the doctors you want. They're not going to find that.
Yep. So
it's about, there's a toxic heavy metal smoothie. Drink that every day and start getting the copper out. And this starts going away. It's as simple as that.
Can you stand up for a minute? Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to show the rest of this.
I wore a skirt so you could see all my psoriasis.
Yeah.
But I want you to think about this.
And now it's like that size, and now I'm just getting them.
We need to be using the right arm, amen? We have the truth, but what good is it if we know, but we don't do? If we don't teach all nations? We have all this information. We have tons of information, don't we? But if we're just listening and not doing and not teaching, then this is what's happening. This is what's happening. The counterfeit message. Do you think that person gets around to a lot of people? He's already reaching celebrities. And do celebrities have influence over a lot of different people? Our youth as well? Of course. Again, we hear the divine prescription being echoed in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Just don't depart from his word, his instructions. Keep them and you'll have health. Remember that disease is an effort of nature to free the system from the conditions that result from us breaking the laws. From us breaking the laws, a violation of his instructions. But disease always has a cause. Disease always has a what? A cause. And so when we turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, we see that it has a cause. Listen to this. So the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, if there is no cause, there is no what? No curse. In other words, if there's nothing that caused the disease, there is no disease, because we know that 9 out of 10 diseases are from where? The mind. The mind. And so God wants us to search for the cause. He wants us to search for what? He wants us to search for the cause. In Job 29, verse 16, Jesus says, and God says, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And so when we look in ministry of healing, when we are sick, number one, there's 4 things. How many things? for. The cause should be ascertained. In other words, we should really, my words are in parentheses, we should really examine ourselves, examine our hearts. What did I do wrong, Lord? What am I doing wrong? Am I not drinking enough water? Am I unforgiving of someone? What am I doing wrong, right? We have to search our hearts. Are we not in the anti-typical day of atonement? Should we be partying and marrying and doing all these things? I'm not saying don't marry, but should we be serious? What should we be doing in the anti-typical day of atonement? The day of atonement, what were the Israelites doing? They were just day-to-day, business as usual? No, they were afflicting their souls. Fasting. And so number two and three kind of go together. Unhealthful conditions should be changed, and wrong habits should be what? Corrected. Those kind of go together. And I look at it as true repentance. We can't say, oh, Lord, I love that caffeine, but I'm going to give it up. But man, I can't wait to have that Pepsi. The sound of the fizz. I really, Lord, please forgive me for, you know, the things that I do late at night and watch on my phone. But man, I cannot wait till later when no one's home. Woo! Is that true repentance? True repentance means you forsake that sin. You hate that sin. It's an abhorrence to you because if God hates it, I hate it too. Are we like that with our sin? How can we overcome and have victory if we love it? But number four, when we do these things, then nature is to be assisted in her effort to expel impurities and to reestablish right conditions in the system. In other words, if you find the cause, you find the cure. What is it? Find the cause, you find the what? Which law are you breaking? Which command? Which health law? Is breaking a health law, is that similar to breaking a moral law? Which part of God's plan? What Ten Commandment? Which one are we breaking? That's what we have to ask ourselves. As we self-examine ourselves, we need to be thinking about these things. And so, in Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully what? Made." Is that right? So following the laws of health, and now we can assist nature instead of hindering it from healing. How many of you have ever got a mosquito bite before? I think I had some mosquito bites here. Are there mosquitoes here? Are there? I thought I was just imagining things. Because, man, while I was scratching and scratching and scratching, I should know better. I had some flashbacks of my mom telling me, you better not touch your mosquito bite. Leave it alone. It's going to get worse. And I'm like, oh, but it feels good. Oh, have you done that before? What happens if you keep scratching it? Have you ever had it bubble up on you? And then all of a sudden it breaks, and then it starts to bleed, and then it starts to scab, and then it's still itchy, and then like a week and a half, 2 weeks, it's still there. Have you ever had that happen to you before? I get a lot of that in the Philippines when I go, you know, I get attacked. That's like a buffet, you know, for the mosquitoes. But if we just leave it alone, or even just help it with something like aloe vera or plantain, I'm not talking about those bananas, plantain like the herb, right? Then it'll take care of itself. It'll heal itself. Because why? Because we're fearfully and wonderfully what? Made. Okay, listen to this. I'm going to show you a picture of something here. I want to show you a what? A picture, okay? Look at this picture. And when it comes up, I want you to tell me what you see is wrong with this picture, okay? There's something wrong in this picture that I can't figure out, and I need your help. I need your help to tell me what's in this picture. Not this picture, this picture right here. There's something wrong with my cabinets, maybe. They're outdated. Maybe they're, I don't know, there's something wrong. Do you see anything wrong in this picture? There's water. There's a puddle. Now, what do most people do when they see a puddle of water on the floor? What do most people do? They mop it up. That's right, they mop it up. And they mop it up. And so what I'm going to tell you is that if you want to be like Elon Musk, like earn so, like make so much money, like Jeff Bezos rich, I want you to make mops. All kinds of mops. Purple mops. Maybe put Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church mops. Green mops. Whatever color mops you want. Make mops. Let me make it more plain. Let's call these mops drugs. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, we're at a med missionary conference, right? We're talking about health. Let's call them herbs. Do you think you get rich making? Do you think you get rich doing medical missionary work? What do you think? I talked a little bit about it last night, if you were here. But you can. I mean, honestly, you can. I mean, I'm not saying that you should. That's not my intention. But technically, if I were to open up, I have an off-grid lifestyle center. How much do you think my electric bill costs? Zero. I have a well. How much do you think my water bill costs? I have a farm. I have food. I have some herbs. How much do you think my grocery bill costs? Probably nothing. Maybe very little to nothing. Now, if I were to charge you, someone's sick here, they have cancer. Oh, a lot of you stood up, you have cancer. Oh, okay, that's $15,000 for 2 weeks. You want to be trained. That's going to be $5,000 for you for 2 weeks. Is that going to be, and I'm going to do 3 people and then 6 students. That could add up. Can you get rich doing medical? Now, I don't want you all to be medical missionaries for that reason, okay? That's what happened in the nursing program. I remember a long time ago, people got it, for my friends got it for the wrong reason, I believe, you know, according to them, but not everyone. But I'm just saying, you can, right? But listen to this. If there's a problem, if you're taking herbs all the time and I'm supplying you with herbs every time and you're not getting to the root cause, you just got a mop with you. So I should just sell more mops. I'll get rich because people just want the herb. You go to the doctor, right? When you go to the doctor, you say, "Doc, what caused this?" How many of us do that? We just say, "Give me something to get rid of it," right? Is that right? We just do that. And so why is that? Why would it be like a mop? Why? Because we never found what? We never found the cause. We never found the cause. Find the cause, find what? Find the cure, right? Is that right? Find the cure. We never found the broken pipe or the broken law. Is that right? We never found the broken pipe or the broken law. And so fixing the pipe is following those laws, right? Fixing the pipe is like what? Keeping the commandments. The foundation to all treatments is following the laws of health, hands down. Remember, one of the laws is to trust in God. That means to follow and trust in his instructions and to trust in his what? In his ways. But many people want that quick fix without finding out the cause. Listen to this. When attacked by disease, when attacked by what? Many will not take the trouble to search out the cause of their illness. Is that true? Their chief anxiety is to get rid or rid themselves of pain and inconvenience. So what do? They resort to patent nostrums. What is that? You said it. Drugs. Or they apply to a physician for some remedy to patent of whose real properties they know little. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you know what's in Ozempic? Lisinopril. Metformin. What are the ingredients? Okay, what's in Tylenol? What's it composed of? Break it down. You don't have to answer that, but I'm assuming most of us don't know. What's in Robitussin? What's in cough syrup? What's in a cough drop? Right? We don't even know. We don't know. So what do? We don't know little, and then we apply to a physician for some remedy to counteract the result of what? Our own misdoing of breaking the law. Right? With no thought of making a change in our unhealthful habits. And then if immediate benefit is not realized, another medicine is tried, and then another, thus the evil continues. I have a lot of friends who are doctors, and I ask, where does it say in your studies, in your book, show me the chapter on healing, where these heal? I have pharmacist friends. Where? Show me. I'm not challenging them. I'm just saying it's not meant for that, right? It's not meant for long term. I mean, I can understand if you need to take it for a short term, you don't know herbs, maybe. I don't know. But we can't take it long term, can we? Will that correct the mistake that we're making? You still have that broken pipe. It's leaking. You're just going to keep mopping it up and mopping it up and mopping it up. I don't want you to buy mops. I don't want you to buy herbs for me. I want you to get to the cause so that you... Does that make sense? I'm tired of getting calls. I'm tired of even seeing my own parents. I'm tired of seeing everyone sick. I can't wait to go home. I'm not talking about Arizona. I'm talking about home. Listen to this. People need to be taught. People need to be what? Taught. People need to be taught. We need to educate. We need to teach, right? Are we to teach all nations? People need to be taught that drugs do not cure disease. It is true that they sometimes afford present relief and the patient appears to recover as a result of their use. This is because nature has sufficient vital force to expel the poison and to correct the conditions that cause the disease. Health is recovered in spite of the drug, but in most cases, the drug only changes the form and location of the disease. Often the effect of the poison seems to be overcome for a time, but the results remain in the system and work great harm at some later period. You know, I really love Hondas and Toyotas, right? And those, I know, I could tell it was a Honda. They're like smiling right now, right? I have a Honda, right? And I could, and Hondas run a long time. Amen. Toyotas run a long, right? And I could, and if you change the oil regularly, you're good, right? You do the regular maintenance. But I, if I go 12,000 miles without changing the oil, I don't care what you have, whether it's a Honda, a Toyota, whatever it is, it's gonna go. It's gonna break. At some point, our check engine light goes off. There's your tumor. Uh-oh. Oh, there's your, right? There's the swelling. Oh, there's the, right? There's something going on. That's the check engine light. You can keep abusing the body and we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but eventually, help, help. Let me give an example. I love examples. I love illustrations. Now, look at this picture. A friend of mine here, there's something wrong with my friend, okay? There's something wrong with my friend. I get the picture on the screen. My friend here. There's something wrong with my friend in this picture. And let's see if you can catch it. What's wrong with my friend? See if we can get this. There you go. What's wrong with my friend? And please don't say that she's pregnant. Okay? That's not a pregnancy test. Okay? That's a thermometer. What's wrong with her? She has a fever. Right? She has a fever. And what do most people do when they have a fever? Most people. They take a Tylenol, right? They take a Tylenol, right? Why? Because they want to shut down that fever, right? Because I got things to do. I got work. I got to cook for the kids. I got to pick up the cool kids from school. I got to do all these things. I'm in a hurry. This is an inconvenience to me. Let me pop something real quick so I can get on with my life. Is that right? Right? But why does our body even get a fever, right? Well, the body naturally heats up and causes two things. How many things? Two things. The first thing is it causes our body to perspire. That means we sweat, right? And we're sweating out the toxins, and we're removing the toxins from our body through our largest organ of our largest organ of our body is what? The skin, through these little holes called the pores. And it relieves the kidney and the liver from doing the filtering, right? So it's using our skin and pores to remove these toxins. Amen? The second thing is it produces white blood cells when we have a fever. That's why in some cases with hydrotherapy, we do a fever bath to induce a fever to create more, produce white blood cells. Now, I want you to think about this. White, pure, right? When you think of white, you think of what? Pure, purity, right? This white blood cell, like in the event of cancer, since it's so prevalent, white, pure blood cell, it's made so that it could kill this disease or this sin, this disease, and in the process of killing this sin, disease, it dies so that we can live. Who does that remind you of? Who does that remind you of? Jesus, an object lesson right in our bodies. But we end up taking the drugs like the Tylenol that stops the fever, and then we think we're healed. Instead, we just killed the very thing that was designed to help us. We hindered nature from healing. Let me give you an example. One more example. When we cough, and we spit something out, or we have a runny nose, and there's like, and you blow your nose, our body's trying to do what? Trying to what? Expel the impurities. Then why do we take cough suppressants? That makes perfect sense. We want to keep it in, amen? So when we get an intruder breaking into the house, we say, try my new lovely chair that I just bought from IKEA. Yeah, you'll be comfortable here. Can I make you some nice mint tea? There's this new onion broth recipe that I just learned from Sister Mercy and Dr. Joyce. And I want you to try this. Make yourself. We should be like that, though. But do we want them in? Or do you want to keep them in? Or do you want them out? You want them out, right? You call the white blood cells. You call the SWAT, right? To come and get them, right? I don't want them in my house. Does that make sense? Wow. All right. I hope that makes sense. All right. So listen to this. Ministry of Healing, the use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient, it seems slow. right? The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires, oh, it's the S word. Should I say that S word? That's a hard word to say. You want me to say it? Is it allowed? Sacrifice. But in the end, it will be found that nature untrammeled does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her law. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't it for every physical, there's a spiritual? Listen to this. Those who persevere in obedience to her law. That sounds familiar. Impatient, it seems slow. Wait a minute. Here are the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the... Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. Amen? Now, let's look at this. Let's turn to John chapter 9. What book? We're going to dive into this medical book. Amen? All right, here we go. John chapter 9. Go back to John chapter 9. What book? John chapter 9. Now, we went over this, but we're going to look at it from a different way. It says in John chapter 9, starting in verse 4, I must work. Who is I? Who's in this? Who's speaking? Jesus, right? Jesus speaking. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We established this a few days ago, right? That Jesus is establishing that this is the last day work, because it's still daytime where he could work, because night's coming when no man can work. And what is he doing? What is his last work? Do you see what he's doing? He made a clay poultice for the blind man. And he tells the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's telling him to do some hydrotherapy, right? Amen? But listen to this. More importantly, what I want to point out here is that Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. What does that mean Jesus is doing? He's obeying. Did you catch that? Did Jesus obey his father? And what did the blind man do? Jesus said to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And what did the blind man do? He went. And he did. Do you see it again? The divine prescription is acted out here, right? The blessing of obedience is health. Do you notice that all throughout the Bible, when there's obedience, there's always a blessing? Do you notice that in your life, that when there's obedience, there's a blessing? You notice when you start tithing, you start being blessed more? You notice when you keep the Sabbath holy, you start to be blessed more? You notice as you obey God's conviction, you get blessed more? There's a pattern, right? But this requires what? This requires sacrifice, that S word, right? But at times, we really don't like sacrifice. So you know what we do? We go to Google. And I mentioned this before. We go on YouTube, and whatever it is, we say, healthy remedy SDA. As long as it's SDA, we're good, right? SDA chocolate. As long as it's SDA, we're okay. SDA hip-hop music. I don't know, whatever it is, right? Right? Or sometimes we just go to our doctors. Now, I'm not saying doctors are bad, amen? I love my doctors. There are some great doctors, amen? Was Luke a doctor in the Bible? In Bible times? Amen. Praise God for doctors, amen? Amen. Especially medical missionary doctors, amen? Amen, amen. But what I'm trying to point out is that sometimes we don't want God's answer to every disease. We want man's answer to disease. What is that? Whose answer do we want? We want man's answer to disease. Is that right? And so we really just don't want to drink our water. We don't want to do our exercise. We don't want to be temperate. We don't want telling us to, well, we can't eat this, or that we eat too much of this. We don't want to be told that, right? Is that right? And eventually, we just don't want that plant-based diet. And eventually, what we're saying is we don't trust in God. We don't want God's answer to every disease. We want man's answer. So let's look at an example in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. What book? We're going to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go to chapter 16. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. 2 Chronicles. What chapter? 16. And we're going to see King Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to go to verse 12 and 13. And say amen when you get to 2 Chronicles starting in Verse 12. Amen? All right. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Did you catch that? Do you think it took him a long time before his foot got really worse? Exceeding great? Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to who? What does your Bible say? So in other words, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought man. Is that right? And then what happened to him next? Verse 13, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. That's sad. Man's answer or God's answer? Now let's look at the New Testament. That's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Mark. What book? The book of Mark. The book of Mark. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 5. What chapter? 5. We're diving into this medical book here. Get deeper into it as we close. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And we know the story, right? This is a woman who was suffering from an issue, wasn't she? It says in verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of what? Blood for how many years? That's a long time, isn't it? Verse 26, and had suffered many things of many what? And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Does that story sound familiar? That's not just with this woman. Have you heard of many people who have spent all they had? They saw all the doctors. They went to all these different kinds of people. Went everywhere across the world. And they didn't get better, but they grew worse. You know how many calls we get? I'm sure, Sister Mercy, Sister Joy. I'm sure there are so many people. There are many that have the same situation. But praise God that this woman had 12 years, that she didn't wait till it was exceedingly great. I think 12 years is already exceeding great, just like King Asa. But praise God, who did she seek? Praise God. Praise God, she sought Jesus. She wanted God's answer. She was tired of man's answer. She wanted God's answer to her disease. Amen? Now let's go to one more good example. Let's see someone who went straight. Let's go to 2 Kings. What book? The book of 2 Kings. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. 2 Kings. My brother Dr. Sweat mentioned 2 Kings, I think. 2 Kings. We're going to go to 2 Kings, and we're going to look at King Hezekiah. King who? King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah, we're going to find that in 2 Kings chapter 20, starting in verse 1. What verse? Verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Now listen to this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Imagine Isaiah going up to the king's throne and pretty much going like this and saying, you're going to die, set your house in order. Walks out, turns his back. Wow, the nerve. Off with his head. Right? Don't talk to me that way, right? That's so disrespectful, right? But what does the king do? What does King Hezekiah do? Verse 2, then he turned his face to the wall, and what did he do? Prayed unto who? Prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. How many of us weep sore? How many of us cry when we're in trouble? Cry when we're in need. Cry when we found out that our marriage wasn't working. Cry when we find out that we have to be on dialysis for the rest of our life. Cry when we find out we have stage 3 cancer. How many of us cry to the Lord? Do you think he saw every tear? Do you think he heard your cry and saw each tear that fell from your eyes? Praise God. Verse 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone, out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have what? I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Praise God. Behold, I will what? I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. Praise God. He's going to add how many years? Now, what's the next word right after? I have the King James. What's the next word that comes after 15 years? It's a 3-letter word. I love that word. And you realize that Hezekiah was going to be surrounded and the kingdom was going to be besieged or sieged and there could have been bloodshed. His sons could have been kept captive and made slaves or executed. There could have been just bloodshed all over. But God said, and. What was he going to do? He says, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now, could it be that as you're weeping, as you're crying, as you're pleading with the Lord, that God is saying, not only do I hear you and see your tears for your husband or for your wife or that child that's out of the church right now, not only have I heard that with your health, but and I'm going to do something else. What more does God want to do? You've done your part. Are we doing our part? Is our part just to say, oh, Lord, please help me. Help me, Lord. Is that our part? And God will say, okay, there you go. Here's the end. Here it is. We're good. You're healed now. Your marriage is good now. Is that what God does? Is that all Hezekiah had to do? Or did he have a part? Human effort plus divine power equals true success. Do we have a part to play? Did Hezekiah? Verse 7. And Isaiah said, take a lump of apples. Figs! Figs, not fig Newtons, okay? Don't use fig Newton. That's processed stuff, right? We want figs, amen? Figs. And what happened? And they took and laid it on the boil, and he what? Did he have a part to play? Out of all the things, figs. Figs. This is why this is the greatest medical book ever written that no medical school uses. Why don't they use this book? Why? Do you realize that what did he have? What did King Hezekiah have? Do you remember? What did he have that he needed figs for? Anyone remember? He had a boil. Is that right? He had a boil. And did you know that figs, for boils, it has a proteolytic enzyme called ficin, meaning it breaks down necrotic tissue and fibrin clots from wounds like boils. I want you to look at this article. Even in cancer, in the forms of cancer, look at this article. I don't know if you could read this article here. It says, the effect of fig tree latex, Ficus carica, on stomach cancer line. Now, this is ficin protease is from the fig tree latex. So when they think of fig tree latex, you want to think of ficin, right? Now, look at this. It says, results. Fig tree latex can inhibit the proliferation of cancer cell line without any cytotoxic effect on human normal cells. Did you catch that? Look at the conclusion. Cancer cell line was more sensitive to Ficus carica latex than normal cells. This anti-cancer, this what? Anti-cancer activity might be due to the presence of the proteolytic enzymes. Now, why is this the greatest medical book ever written? You know, in forms of breast cancer, which is really prevalent, right? They have tumors. A lot of people use, medical missionaries use figs. Why? Why figs? Because God said figs, amen? He already knows the science behind it, and we have the science to prove it too, amen? Now, figs. Now, figs have two things. How many things? Two components that are very important when dealing with tumors, okay? The first thing is it has sugar. And cancer loves sugar. I have more scientific studies here that show that. If anyone wants it, I can show you the scientific studies. But if you love sugar, if you want cancer to spread, give it sugar. That's why it makes so much sense that after you get a biopsy or after you get surgery, they give you what? They give you Jell-O. Sugar's attracted. I mean, the cancer cells are attracted to sugar. So if you have breast cancer, it's gonna feed the cancer, right? But it also has one more component. It has oxygen. And cancer can't live in an oxygenated environment. So no pun intended, that fig poultice becomes a booby trap. Amen? God is so good, right? Amen? Amen. This is the greatest medical book ever written. There is so much more that we learned this week, right? And there's so much more to learn. We're going to be learning for all eternity. We got to be learners in humility. Because if you didn't have humility, figs, really? Come on. Lemons for cataracts? Lemons for glaucoma in the eye? What? You know, like there's different things that we've used that there's so much science behind it now too. But listen to this. Trust and obey his laws, his health laws, New Start, right? Or God's plan, whichever one you prefer. And health is the blessing of obedience. Because we need true faith, friends. We need genuine faith that leads to obedience. Because why? Because genuine faith is followed by what? Love, and love by obedience. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that what he said? You know, I could have just started and they would have introduced me and I would have said, God's answer to every disease is love. Amen. Let's pray. But God says, give my thy hands that fashioned me and made me, give me understanding that I will keep your commandments. Amen. And so this is really the answer. The answer to every disease is what? Is love. Is love. It's plain and simple, is love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so, we really need to turn to our true healer. Is that right? He's our divine physician. He is our divine physician. Is he not our divine physician? Has he done so much for you already? Has he? Amen. Now, I don't know exactly why you're here. I don't even know how I got here. I don't even know what's going on in your life. Some of you I've met before. We don't talk on a daily basis, but it sure feels like family when we do see each other. And there's some of you that I just met, perhaps, maybe an occasional hi, maybe a hug, maybe a... But honestly, all of us are suffering from something. Is that right? We're all suffering from something. And I don't know about you, but this world is really... It's hard. If I thought in my days when I was growing up, it was hard. There's so much more temptation. There's so much more foods. I could watch someone from across the world just gorge on junk food. We couldn't do that back then. I'd have to hear from it from a letter, right? If someone was eating like that. Or from a picture, from a Polaroid picture. But there's so many things at our fingertips that could harm us a lot. I don't know about you, but that I don't think we can make it anymore. If the world were to continue how many more years, I don't think there'll be anyone that even loves God anymore. I don't know if you feel that way. If you really look around. But I know this. I know that God still has a people. And I know that he's trying to prepare us. You realize what we learned this week, all this information, do you realize that you could find the health message in the most holy place, inside the ark, next to the commandments, highlighted by the pot of manna that highlights the fourth commandment? What is our test in the end? The Sabbath. Does health and Sabbath go together in these last days? I'm not going to go through the whole sanctuary message with you, but to show you that health is at the end. It's no wonder why there's seven seals, seven plagues, seven churches, seven trumpets, and then there's the Seventh-day Adventist. We have a message, don't we? And if God is trying to tell us to reform in health and do the medical missionary work, which is a reform in sacrifice for others, then what are we doing? Were we saved to sit or were we saved to serve? Every quarter, we're reminded to do medical missionary work. You know why? You're doing hydrotherapy on someone's feet. God has been practicing. He's giving you practice, isn't he? He's been giving you what? He's been giving you practice. Why aren't we using it then? Why aren't we using it? God wants to use you. But if we don't want to be used, he's not going to force you. But my appeal to you is if you want to do more, if you're tired of just the everyday, sure, we could go to homeless ministry. Sure, we could go door to door. Sure, we could do these things. But the work for this time is medical missionary work. The work of being a friend. Is that what we said this week? I'm going to ask for an appeal. I'm going to ask someone to come forward, if that's you, if you feel like you want to do more. Maybe it's in health. Maybe you think to yourself, there's no way I could eat healthier. But Lord, I know that you could give me victory even over that. Is there someone here today that would like to make a commitment and say, Lord, I want to learn more. I want to be healthier, both physically and spiritually, as we head to these last days. I'm going to make an altar call. If that's you, then please come forward. I'm coming forward already. I'm going to step down, and that's me. I want to reform. And don't think of health reform as something scary. Reform, when we hear this, it seems kind of extreme. But shouldn't we all want to reform or change into the image of God? And if we want to change, then make that commitment today. I don't know how much time we have left, honestly. But if the Lord is convicting you and pressing your heart today to make changes in your life, then we should listen, because we should know already that when we obey, there's always a blessing in obedience. Amen? If there's anything we've learned in all our lives since the beginning of our journey in our Christian walk, that God has always given us a blessing when we followed His instruction. Amen? You know, it says in the Great Controversy that the agencies of evil are consolidating and these next movements are going to be rapid ones. Well, I tell you, even in California, even in Sacramento, California, I don't believe that the agents of evil are the only ones consolidating. I see God's people consolidating. We have to press together. Amen? Press together is the message for this time. Press together. When there's so much division, look at what we're doing. Press together. Press together. I see good things at this church. I've been so blessed to be with all of you this week and to see us pressing together, uniting together, and collaborating. That's how it should be. Don't let the division get to us. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. And Jesus is that prize. Amen. Let's keep our eye on that prize and invite Him into our hearts. As I kneel, I invite you to kneel. If not, just stand where you are and bow your head. Bow your heads. Father in heaven, I thank you so much again. It is such a blessing to see your people come together to discuss you, to talk about you, to just lift you up. Because you've said that if you're lifted up, that all of us would be drawn to you. And certainly, Lord, you have been lifted up this whole week. And that the good part, it's not over yet. We still have more lifting to do, Lord. But I ask, Lord, that you please continue to pour out your Holy Spirit with this church, with your church, with your people all over, not just in Sacramento, but Lord, let us be found ready and ready others so that we can say that we can see you come in the clouds and we could say bye to all the sickness and disease and sin. Lord, we long to see you, Lord. But Lord, I know you're extending this period of grace just a little longer for us to save our children. For you to save our spouses, save our marriages. Lord, save us. Save us. We can't wait to see you in all your glory. But Lord, help us persevere to the end. It's hard. But Lord, I know with you, we can do anything. Please give us the zeal and the strength to continue to hold close to you and cling to you. Please bless everyone here who has that desire to want to work for you and want to do this work and hasten your coming by finishing this work. I ask that you please be with every home and every marriage. There are many people going through marital problems, problems with their children. It starts with the individual, Lord, but also starts at our first mission, our home. Please be with each family here, each married couple, each individual, and guide us all the way to the end. I thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of any sin and help us to continue to overcome as we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Let all the saints say, amen, amen, amen.
All first stances.
I am bound for the promised land. I bound. Just so.